in this week. On the 7th of May in 1983, the Dons clinched the fourth division title with a five-star display to beat Blackpool at Plough Lane. We had none of this last season when we could really have used it. When you're on a winning run, you really make your own luck. Ever-present goalkeeper Dave Besson said after seeing two first-half shots come back off the post and into his arms. Ah, yes. We love those times, winning league titles. But you know what? Staying up just feels just as good. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
Hello, hello, dear listener. Welcome to the show. My name is Matt Cooper. This is going to probably be a long show because there's lots to get through. It's all very exciting. And I'm excited to be joined, as always, by my regular, the regular team, Mon Frere, the football fixer, Niall Cooper. Hi, Niall. How you doing?
All right. I've got to come back and talk about Dave Besson once we've done all the introductions, but like, awesome.
All right. And the producer, the man who has legged it from his work to be here. He's actually looking work. He's not dressed in any Wimbledon garb today, which is slightly disconcerting. It is our main man, Dr. Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, the thing that listeners do need to know is that I do often wear lots of Wimbledon shirts to work as well. It's just I haven't this week.
You wear them to work? I love it.
Of course.
Fantastic. Why wouldn't you? And of course, the man of the opponent's podcast, our Welsh dragon, it is tall Mark Lewis. And no, I'm not changing it.
Gosh, I say that Mark has got...
How are you doing, my
Mark
friend?
Has got... Okay, Mark's got Wimbledon merch on to make up for him not having Wimbledon merch on.
Yeah. I have. And I actually picked up a pair of discounted shorts on Saturday. So I've now got like two sets of gym gear as well, all Wimbledon merchandise-wise. I actually met somebody else in the gym the other day who is also a Wimbledon fan, who I genuinely recognise from his Twitter photo, which is maybe not so good.
I think one thing people who are, obviously you can't see this, but what needs to be said is that we are all, I'm not sure about Niall though, we're all in our sort of Wimbledon shrines. You can't see it because my screen's blurred, but behind me I've got lots of Wimbledon photos and pictures from like the cup final and the Womble Till I Die fence and all that sort of stuff. And behind Adam, he's got a multitude of shirts there behind him, all the different Wimbledon shirts and tops and whatever it is.
And I got a big print of the saying, "We are fans, yeah, we are owners, we are Wimbledon."
Yeah, and then Mark is really in a shrine. He's got all the different pictures up on the wall behind him there. I think, are those programs? Is that a program?
I've got two bookcases full of programs. The originals from 77 onwards are in the front room, but most of them are in here. Yeah, and I've got my framed flag from Wembley. Yeah, with the ticket pop quiz. Because we were all there, obviously. What did a standing terrace ticket cost for Wembley 88?
£8.50.
Close.
I was going to go for a tenner. What was it? What was it?
Adam?
I was convinced it's £8.50 because I've got a little coaster with it written on it.
£7.
Well, there might have been something that was £8.50. Mine was £8. Because it says it up there, obviously. But what could £8 buy you in 1988, hey? You know?
Well, I mean, what's been quite
probably a house.
It would have been 8 pints of lager,
yeah, at least
in a university bar.
But compare that now, because the BBC have done this analysis of how much it would cost to go to the World Cup and watch the group games, the England group games, and for everything with tickets, accommodation, flights, about £20,000, £20,000 to go out there. I mean, it is just absolutely ridiculous. The whole thing is just.
I could talk about this as well because I'm like slightly. In a bit of a situation. So two things I'm going to go back to, right? One, I'll come to that. The best thing, on my reels, Paul Gascoigne talked about the World Cup semi-final, which England lost to Germany. And he was, amongst many other players, wanting Dave Besson to come on for the last 2 minutes because they all thought Peter Shilton wasn't that good at saving penalties. Whereas Dave Besson, who was the substitute goalkeeper that day, should have come on and played in the World Cup semi-final.
Oh.
There you go. That was a Paul Gascoigne reel. So I just like, you know, that would have been heroic moment. Dave Besson, whatever. Midley would have been playing for Chelsea at the time or wherever. But that would have been quite a big moment. And the so that, I think, is like, you know.
No, we can't go on. We can't. We've got so much to talk about. We can't talk about the unfairness of the World Cup. We'll have
I was
you
going to say,
we'll
have you actually forgotten the season already?
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
I've got quite a lot going on.
I could have gone for ages.
I think we can, listen.
Oh, and Mark, I've got a quiz. I forgot to mention, I've written a quiz.
Oh, I forgot about the quiz already. Damn it.
So my friend,
didn't send me the answers, Mark. That's what you're supposed to do.
Anyone listen to this podcast, sit back and relax. It's going to take a good couple of hours because we've got some clips to throw in here as well. It's all fun and games. But I think one thing, can we all agree on this? We do not have to talk about the final match of the season. The fact is, it happened. No one cared. We were just in such a celebratory mood. The players were given virtually the week off. We knew that no one was preparing for this, and the squad that he put out would not have been the squad that he'd put out, you know, if things mattered on it. So I'm really
who cares,
I'm,
you know, like
I'm
it's
really
going to be.
It felt if I was going to think about a relevant 4-0, it would be our first game against Sutton.
From my view, yeah, totally. I think it's a good comparison. My big learning from Saturday was the Lebanese food outlet was surprisingly brilliant.
Told you.
You did tell me. And I really thought that was great. I think that we can't. That could never have been in contention for the, you know, food award because it was too new an outlet. But I was very impressed by the Lebanese.
But
so,
wasn't,
you know,
it expensive? Wasn't it expensive?
Well, it was.
They're all expensive.
But, like, you know, I mean, the only one that's cheaper is the Greek Souvlaki, which I can never pronounce. That is cheaper. But value for, like, taste-wise, because it came in at 12, 13 quid or whatever, it is definitely my favourite out of all of them. That said, spend, like, a few days being ill afterwards, but that's probably not connected in any way, shape or form.
Oh, man, I can't believe you just did that. It's not connected because you're on antibiotics. Anyhow.
Yes.
The most important... Mark, did you want... I'll give you your 2 pennies worth on this match.
No. All I was going to say was that having criticised me for apparently critiquing Hackford too much over recent games, my wife and my daughter pointed out that apparently I really wasn't a ray of sunshine during the game. And that they were like, why are you even bothered? And it's like, well, because I'm watching Wimbledon. And, you know, if I'm watching Wimbledon under-8s play, I want them to win. And if they lose 4-0, I'll still be frustrated, so...
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was annoying, but I completely get it, and it just didn't, it just did not matter. But what does matter, and something definitely to look about, is that what's come out is our sort of like retained and released list. In actual fact, it comes in kind of 5 different sections. So we've got the under contract. There are 13 of those. Nathan Bishop, Ryan Johnson, Marcus Brown, Anson Smith, Matty Stevens, Antoine Hackford, Delino Mokoi Splat, Osman Foyo, Joe McDonald, Riley Horan, Ed Leach, Junior N. King, and Isaac Ogundeir. There are 4 where we've extended their contracts by year. We've exercised the options: Jake Reeves, Miles Hippolyte, Aaron Sasu, and Kai Jennings. 3 we've offered contracts to. This wouldn't be no surprise. Steve Sedd and Callum Maycock. No, I say no surprise, but then Harry Sidwell. And then there are ongoing discussions with Omar Bugle, Patrick Bauer, and Joe Lewis. And then, of course, there is those players that have that are being released, departing the club. Sam Hutchinson, undoubtedly. He's done his part. He was a hero. Josh Kelly, very unlucky with injuries. Had a couple of great games with us. Leo Young, we never really saw. Ethan Sutcliffe. And then the loans ended were Nathan and Semwe, James Tilley, Brody Hughes, who, you know, Brody Hughes, I think we're all going to miss. You know, he's just, he was one of those players that's exceptional.
He was one of those ones where I was really close to thinking him as player of the year.
Yeah,
his
exactly.
His contribution was phenomenal. Reflects how much I love the club he was loaned from.
Yeah, but it's perfect. and then obviously the other one's Leighton Stewart. Interesting. Shame, again, a shame he came. He was injured at the start because we could have really done with him. And then Zach Nelson as well, loans ended. Now then, my take is that, listen, if we keep everyone who's under contract, whose options have been taken, we've offered contracts to, and the discussions are ongoing, if we keep all of those people, we would have a squad of 23. However, I'm making the assumption that potentially from that list, six are either going out or loan or no longer needed. So we're going to try and get rid of them. I would say that's McCroy Splatt, Osmond Foyo, Riley Horan, Ed Leach, Kai Jennings, and Harry Sidwell. Some of those I wouldn't be surprised if we try and sell. Others will want to go out on loan. From that list, potentially, and this is just a sense that I have, you can disagree with this, we might lose three who would be sold. Brown, Hippolyte, and N. King. And I think the reason that we took on Hippolyte's extension, that one-year extension, is so that if there is interest, we'll get some money from him. Now, if all of that happened, we'd have a squad of 14. Two keepers, Bishop McDonald, four centre-backs, Johnson, Bauer, Lewis, and Ogundeer. Two wing-backs, I'm being generous here, Seddon and Sasu. Three centre-mids, Smith, Reeves, and Maycock. Three forwards, Hackford, Bugle, and Stevens. That is my take. Chaps, it'd be good to know what you think.
So here's my hot take to start with.
Yep.
Start off at 10. The squad that finished the season,
yep,
including obviously loanees and people who were injured, whatever,
yep,
if we started next season, 26-27, with the same squad, I don't think that squad keeps us up in League One.
No.
Therefore, we need strengthening, and I don't want to lose a Hippolyte or Marcus Brown, definitely not an N. King, for example. However, if we lose them, or even one of them, and as a result of losing one of them, we're able to put that money back into the playing squad, not into anything else amongst the other financial needs of the club, but into the playing squad, then I think people would understand and accept that. Because the reality is, do we really think that Lewis will accept whatever offer we've put to him? Probably not. Do we really think necessarily that you want to start the season again with Lewis, Johnson, Oggs,
yep,
Bauer as your central back options? And only those, with potentially Horan to go out on loan? I'm not sure that you do. So we need fresh blood from different places, whether that's plundering non-league, or out of contract players, or looking elsewhere from other locations. But if we're ready to 3-5-2, as we've spoken about before, we definitely need five centre backs. Who are those five centre backs going to be? But what I find interesting, just a quick side on this one, when we signed Reeves again, I happened to meet him. There was a club function in the summer just after he signed. And I basically said to him, hang on, you have just been first choice ever present for Stevenage, who at that point had just been promoted from League Two into League One. And you signed for us at the time in League Two. What's going on? And he said, very interesting point, and he would have been about 27, 28 at the point at the time, maybe slightly older. And he said that, he was married, he had a young family, and his family had chosen to move. We know that that's out sort of Swindon way. And Stevenage there, even though he was first choice ever present, had offered him a guaranteed one-year deal plus another year. Whereas obviously what we offered, as we know, was a two-year deal and it turns out an extra year as well. What role he'll play next year, I genuinely don't know. I think a lot of fans would be disappointed if he was first choice. But if he was your backup reserve midfield player, taking on the role that Hutchinson had, actually playing maybe 15, 20 games rather than 35 or 40, then that, to me, is an acceptable use of resource.
And the other rumor that is going around is that, you know, he's doing his coaching badges, and, you know, could possibly be part of the backroom stuff.
Well, there were plenty of rumors. Totally right, we were there on Saturday night after the game, and we'll get onto that in a bit. But there were plenty of rumors going around there as to who's around, who's not around, who's staying, who's not staying.
So, I guess still the assumption is that, you know, of all those players, we would still have a squad of somewhere around, you know, 14, 15, 16, you know, and the hope that possibly Brown and one of Hippolyte or Nkeng stays as well. Because, you know, I mean, I would say that Brown is just an exceptional talent and can really make a difference.
Sedden's
part of my thing, of the thinking in that.
I think that we'll probably try and sell Brown and Nkeng and use that to add players, basically. I think that's what's going to hopefully happen, because they'll be worth quite a bit, I reckon. And you can get more players.
I don't know if we'll actively try and sell anyone, but the agents will be.
No, yes, yeah, sorry. I think people will come for Brown and Nkeng, and if the offers are suitable enough and we realise we can use that money to buy more than two players, then I think that's what's going to happen. I think both of those players are fantastic, interesting, exciting players that probably a championship team is probably looking at, you know, maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the squad, if the people that you mentioned, this is where I slightly disagree with Mark, is that if Tilly was also part of that combination you talked about, and they were fit, because remember how decimated we were by injuries.
Yeah.
And that is a squad I think is capable of surviving in League One. Though, I think where we need to strengthen, it's quite obvious, is it's the spine, isn't it? You know, you're talking about, we need another centre-back, because clearly that's not working. Lewis isn't at the form he previously was. Maybe he's been injured and carrying an injury. But like, when you've got the other three after that aren't strong enough, we definitely need somebody else in centre mid, because Reeves isn't up to it, really. Though I think Reeves is going to be a coaching person, and we need a forward that's actually going to be fit for the year. That's where I see that as being the kind of absolute crucial bit. And we need to think really cleverly about how we do that and where we get these players from, because that is where I'm worried about.
But I think I was going to say, the thing for me is yes, we had loads of players injured towards the end, but that's because we didn't have enough depth. We didn't have other options. So they played more games than they should have done, or they had to step in and play games prior to having enough kind of, you know, experience.
Honestly,
so,
Adam, I don't totally agree with that, because I think the reality is that if we looked at some of the previous seasons, we've not had that level of injuries for that long for time, at the same time. And that's what decimated us. You can't win matches if you've got eight first team players out. You know?
No, I know, but what I'm saying is I think that at this level,
any team in League One is going to be the same. Most teams in League One will be operating a squad of 20 players.
I think they're probably, but a lot of teams will have a bigger squad, I would have thought. And, or, you know, we probably can't afford that. And I think we were always saying that we were looking at a squad of around 20, 21, our first team squad. And, you know, some of those players, like we say, are going to go on. The other thing is, obviously, when the discussions are ongoing and you look at the three players, what that means is that we are offering them a reduced fee. So I would suggest that for Bugle, Bauer,
or not an increase fee on their current wages.
Yeah, so it would either be not an increase or a reduced fee, and it would be 1 year with a possible option for another. I would say the most would be where that would be what happens there with those three.
No, but again, I understand that they're negotiating. Yeah, I understand that those are probably negotiating for an increased fee for sure. That's probably pretty obvious. I think obviously Omar's done a great job generally. I think so has Lewis, you know. And they probably, they're probably asking for a higher fee, which I totally understand. If you feel you can get it, you would ask for it. I mean, the good thing is that Omar has been very positive about his time at Wimbledon, wants to clearly just come up with some sort of agreement. It's just whether the club and Craig Cope, etc., feel that they can meet somewhere to make that happen. It doesn't sound like he wants to go anywhere else, but he's also saying, well, I am worth probably more than you paid me last season for various reasons. And I think that's
fine. I get that, Adam, but the truth is...
We knew we were going to lose Tilly and Nurfield last year, right? So it's like, you know, and that was an absolute, almost an absolute given. This year, because they were both out of contract, this year, if you talk about players that we're definitely going to lose or worry about losing, for me, those three that... Am I... Sorry, Adam. Am I worried if we lose Bugle? I'm not sure if I totally am. I'm worried if we lose Seddon. You know, that's probably where I'm going. And the rest of them will be people that people have to buy. You know, that's the issue. The people under contract and the people we've taken the options with, if you look at those, some of which I'd shift out, but there aren't there aren't many from the offering contracts or whatever that you kind of go, right, is it a disaster if they don't stay? Seddon, I think, is. Tilly wasn't even on that list of offering a contract, was he? He was just released. So it's like, because he's on loan. So and you haven't got a choice about what's going to happen with Tilly. But Seddon would be the one that I think we need to keep on that list.
He's been offered a new contract, so that clearly has happened. Obviously, Omar is in the bit where discussions are ongoing, so there clearly is a negotiation period happening. But Seddon, Michael, and Sybil have been told, here's a contract, do you want it? And they haven't said yes.
Yeah. So, Adam, I'm going to upset you here. I mean, I think all of those people, Bugle, Bauer and Lewis, they will not, their terms will not be increased. It's either you play on what we're offering you, or you have to try and find something somewhere else.
I suspect that those three we'll end up keeping Bauer.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing for me is Bauer is based in London, having played for Charlton, and he has a young family. Bugle, obviously, we know is based near Reeves, so if there's the opportunity in terms of the friendship they have and the travelling that they do at the moment, I think they also car share with Stevens as well, so who knows if that plays in our favour. Brown's also based in London, so that could help as well. Lewis has moved around. Lewis has played for Torquay, he's played for Stockport, obviously, we got him from, and he's from Wales. So who knows whether or not he's happy and he's comfortable down here. But if he's happy and he's comfortable down here, who's going to offer him a deal? You know, he's not championship quality. He hasn't really demonstrated the appropriate proper level, proper in terms of trying out to be playing at a higher level in top League One. And actually the top League One clubs, you know, whoever's going to miss out in the playoffs, none of them are based in the South. You know, that it's going to be Bolton or Bradford or Stockport. Stevenage have got all the appropriate players lined up in terms of resources and centre-backs for sure. So actually, who else is offering them something? Orion? Bromley?
Gillingham.
Possibly they could... Gillingham, possibly they could offer him more financially. But at a playing level...
Or Bromley.
Yeah, exactly. But none of them are necessarily going to offer him in that respect. Then you are working your way down. And does he already think that he's working his way down? If his injury record is as bad as it seems to be, then maybe he has to work his way down.
Maybe one of them might offer him more than what we're prepared to give.
Yeah,
he's not going. Even though you mentioned Wales, that's the way he's not going. All right, Mark.
Oh, absolutely right. Yeah, because he's not good enough, obviously, for Cardiff or for Swansea, and he thinks he's probably better than Newport, who just about stayed in the league. But there's a few stats to throw actually at Niall, not to do tit for tat, but a few stats that are pretty simple that demonstrate exactly where we need to improve. No team got promoted from League Two scoring fewer than the 56 goals we scored last season, and actually we didn't score huge amounts this season either. And in terms of, and I don't have this one to hand, but in terms of the numbers of goals we conceded, I believe in League One this season, only Barnsley conceded more than we did. So that in itself tells you, towards the end of the season, we know why, with the injuries, but we were getting you know, thumped. We got thumped at Cardiff. We got thumped by Stockport, home and away. We got thumped by Luton and so on. But the other issue, which I think all of us know, and your man, Tim Hansen, from the other blog, has done a very good blog about this, is literally analysing in the last four seasons the balance of how many points we have in the first half of the season, how many points we have in the second half. And it's actually very, very illuminating. We've always said we've always had a drop-off after Christmas. 22-23, we got 34 points in the first half of the season, only 14 in the second half. 23-24, 35-30, that was relatively even. Last season, 40 in the first half, 33 in the second half, but we still managed to get through the playoffs. This season, 31 in the first half, we knew we had that great start, only 22 in the second half of the season. In fact, we had two really, really good points of this season, 1.9 points per game in the first 13 games, and 2.1 points per game in that purple patch from kind of Port Vale away onwards. But the last 11 games of the season, we won one, that last minute goal, yeah, at Wigan. We drew one, Peterborough, and we lost the other nine. That's why I'm saying if we do regenerate, rejuvenate, or just change the squad because we have to, because those offers aren't necessarily going to be taken up, I don't see that as a bad thing. I'm going to miss the likes of Lewis and Omar, for example, if we do lose them, and Hippolyte if we lose him as well. Probably my favourite player in the current team. But, you know, we actually need battle-hardened League One players. We didn't have them going into the season, and that's why we somehow need to work out how we can afford as many battle-hardened League One players for next year.
Yeah, I think we're looking at players that might even be released from the Championship, people like that. You know, I was kind of going Jack Curry's my mind, half my mind's going there, but I think he'll probably be starting 11 with Oxford now, won't he? Because Oxford will shift players and he'll be one of those few that are left. I think there'll be a few potential people like that that might be who we need to pick up. You know, picking up a battle-hardened centre-back will be ace. You know, somebody who's like... But it, I do think we've got a slight issue about, do we need pace in that back four?
Big time, because Lewis was the pace that we had in League Two. And we didn't really have any... I mean, actually, without harping on about the Huddersfield game, the fewer game, if we do re-sign Seddon, I really don't want to re-sign him with the idea that he can be like fourth or fifth choice centre-back, because he was getting outpaced and outdone so many times. I just kept running through his channel and it really didn't work, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, Oggs has got pace. Oggs is, you know, I think...
Yeah, but how many times was it a case that Oggs seemed to be defending on his own last season?
Yeah.
This season, exactly.
I mean, he was...
The last 11 games...
Yeah, he was totally our unsung hero. But what there's also another if you get to have a look at it, some scouting hive have gone through and they've sort of like you know, put what the squad is looking like. But obviously, you know, they've included all the players that we've contracted. They've also included Tilly as well, but. You know, and then they've gone through and looked at, you know, potential options, which is quite interesting. And what's great is that I haven't heard of any of these people, but he's done his homework. So there's a guy called Kamal Grant, who was on loan at Bromley, from Millwall. So he might. That's one of them. And then there's a whole list of other people he's just gone through. It's just, you know, some exciting things. And I think, you know, Niall, as you're always saying, I mean, I always think, hey, let's get Al Hamadi back, or Abu Hassal. Let's get them. But I think they might have moved on. But there's some interesting names. So if you just get through, have a look at the Scouting Hive. They've done a brilliant job in assessing potential players. To look at, but yeah, so I think this is going to keep. I mean, like, you know, this is going to keep us all entertained. I'm waiting for the first tweet from our fans to say, why haven't we signed anyone yet? Because those are the tweets that usually start to come out. But my feeling is that we'll be moving a few people on, A few people will be going out on loan, and we will probably need in the region of 7 signings, something like that. I would suggest, and probably looking at it, you know, at least one, if not two, centre backs, depending on who stays or goes. At least two wing backs, again, depending on if Seddon signs on. At least a couple more centre mids, and probably a couple more strikers. And what I'm saying there is that probably, you know, Foyo is going to be gone out on loan or possibly sold. But yeah. Anyhow, this is all fun and games. I mean, this is going to, like I say, this is going to keep us entertained over the next few weeks. But what else we can look back on from Saturday? There is a few things. So obviously the presentations happened afterwards, and we managed to get upstairs. There was this bit of hoo-ha about who was going to, how easy it was to get upstairs or whatever it is. I think we queued for about 5-10 minutes and it easily got upstairs, where we managed to make a nuisance of ourselves. In actual fact, what we've done is we managed to get rid of our Wombles awards. I say get rid of, we managed to present them. So we presented a couple before the game started. So our first award was for the Who Ate All the Pies best food outlet, and our winner was the Dough Shack. And here you can listen, because what we managed to do is catch them at their busiest time, where they really didn't have any time to talk to us. So you can hear that little snippet now as we presented the award.
Yeah, they're collecting, you see. Thank you.
There you are. Is this on? Hello. Welcome. All right, guys. Can I get a pepperoni, please? And who's in charge of this shenanigans? My friend, our food outlet of the season.
In the whole ground.
From the whole ground.
You've won the award.
You've won the same old Wombles Who Ate All the Pies award. Yeah. And so you're a pizza pie thing.
give me 2 seconds.
I love it. They're that busy. They're doing what they should be doing. They're doing the pizza. Pizza pies. Who ate all the pies? It's a good thing. There you are. Thank you very much. And I need to pay up as well, don't I?
This is clearly exciting stuff. So obviously, my brother has gone forward to show the proof of buying a pepperoni pizza from the award-winning Dough Shack, winner of the Same Old Wombles podcast food outlet of the year, Who Ate All the Pies, winner, the Dough Shack. Fantastic. You could see the smile and the joy from the entire team. It's an absolute honour. Maybe we would speak to him, but he appears to be cooking quite a lot. Far too busy. But there you go. Congratulations to the Dough Shack, the mighty winners of the food outlet of the year.
Okay, and after that, we managed to track down our club person of the year and award them the Mandy Award. And again, this is going to be a surprise to a lot of people who've listened over the podcast the last couple of weeks, where we were giving out our list of nominees, because they weren't on the list of nominees. Our winner of the Mandy Award, club person of the year, was Hayden the Womble. And he can hear us present the award to him.
Now, this is going to be a tricky one to do. But just to say that our hero of that hour, the guy who has raised so much money for DLAG and the foundation over the years, and also through the time that we have been absolutely pants on the field, banging the drum, always being there, always supporting the side, it's our old Wombles. Club person of the year is Hayden the Womble.
Hero.
The Mandy Award.
The Mandy Award for club person of the year.
He's too cuddly.
Let us get a picture with our man.
When we say here, obviously Hayden isn't exactly necessarily able to say very much himself.
No, exactly. But then Niall later on managed to track down the
Hayden.
spokesperson for Hayden the Wumble.
I tracked down Hayden directly and I asked Hayden some questions.
World exclusive. Yeah. We managed to actually get Hayden to speak.
Yeah, because I think legally he's allowed to do that. Whereas if I say Hayden's representative, anyhow, you can hear what Niall had to say to Hayden slash his representative here.
So, like we earlier, we presented the award to Hayden the Wumble, but obviously at the time, Hayden's was a bit tongue-tied, couldn't really speak. But luckily now, I know the video isn't on, but we have now got Hayden the Wumble with us, and it's brilliant. So Hayden, I mean, obviously we have you down as the club person of the year. How does it feel, Hayden the Wumble?
I'm humbled, genuinely humbled. I don't cry often in Hayden, but that made me, that well up. That was very, very humbling. Just very, very, just love. I don't know how to, I'm still touched and lack of words can come out, but thank you for just appreciating what I do. So I do it and make smiles. And
so obviously, I mean, like coming down from Wimbledon Common, where you're there in the barrow, I mean, does it feel like you've got, I mean, have you already phoned up your uncle and your Orinoco and other people? How's it going?
Madame Chalet's already dusted the mantelpiece ready. It is a prime position.
I mean, that's really cool. I mean, I have them. I mean, obviously interested. I mean, are you there with, like, the other Wumbles? Are you still there? Do you see them a lot, or how's it going with them?
You know, we go overground, we go underground, so, you know, now and again we meet in the same tunnels, in the same circles, but, you know.
I mean, I think for all of us it's a totally well-deserved award, and please thanks, and it's such a privilege to finally get to say and speak to the real person, the real legend, is Hayden the Wumble. Hayden, thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you, appreciate it.
And then we managed to have our two Sorted Out Jacksons Awards. Now, the reason we got two is we had one left over from last season, because you remember there was a whole hoo-ha about the end of season presentation. It didn't happen at the ground. It happened after the whole playoff thing. So we weren't able to present our award, which I've been having sitting here for ages. So we managed to present our 24-25 Sorted Out Jackson Award for best sub. And I think what has to be said here when you listen to this is that we really see this as an amazing achievement. This is someone who's come on and made a huge impact. Okay. So, you know, it shouldn't be taken lightly, but I think we need to convey that more. So anyhow, our 24-25 Sorted Out Jackson Award for best sub was, and you know, it was an obvious winner. It was Callum Aycock for those couple of goals against the franchise. Here you can hear us tracking Callum down. Mate, we're from the Same Old Wombles podcast. Last season, we had this thing called the Sorted Out Jackson Award for the best sub. We couldn't get it to you last season. No, mate, you scored two amazing goals last season. Do you remember who against? Exactly, my friend. That is the trophy. There you are. I know you're going to keep it somewhere special.
Yeah, my missus will probably use it too. Yeah, thank you.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
There you are. I think he was overwhelmed by that. I think the fact that he said, "I don't want to be known as the best sub," said it all, to be honest with you. We've got another exclusive there.
And finally, and this is the least surprising award of the whole lot, is our 25-26 Sorted Out Jackson Award for best sub. The person who made the biggest impact. In actual fact, you couldn't have a bigger impact than scoring a winning goal and keeping our club in the League One. And it was great. We managed to track down and have a chat with our main man, Antoine Hackford, who he seemed genuinely thrilled to get his award. And here you are, you can listen to what he had to say.
Well, yeah, again, just like to say we've met a fan, a guy called Paul, who's had his picture taken with us. Paul, we're loving your work, my friend. And now we're just approaching Antoine Hackford. He's just chatting to someone from the one of the other admirers. So we're all excited. We're excited to be. And we've managed to get upstairs, and we got Sammy Mack, who we interviewed earlier on, playing on stage at the moment. it's a buzzy old atmosphere up here. We're kind of enjoying ourselves, mingling with all the people. Love the fact that people have recognised, I mean, our person's recognised us. So I'm getting ahead of ourselves. I like to think that we're like, anyhow, so here we are. Tormark has managed to grab Anton. We'll see if we can present him with the award. He's looking a bit perplexed at the moment, talking to Tormark, and I think he's also talking to other people as well. So, you know, we're just going in here now, just in. But you see, at the moment he's just having a chat with someone. I don't want to interrupt what is going on here.
I'll interrupt.
Niall's got no.
Matt's going to explain this to you. It's really important.
So basically, my friend, is that we're the same old Wombles. We're a little podcast that we've got going on here, and every season we do an award for the sub that has made the biggest impact.
It's called Sort It Out this Jackson. Season.
It's called the Sort It Out Jackson Award, and my friend, until last weekend it was going to be Callum Maycock, but you have stepped up and saved our season.
I appreciate that.
Here you are. You've got the same old Wombles Award, the Sort It Out Jackson. You are on there, mate.
So there they...
That's it.
So, Angela, how do you feel about this? I mean, it's a treasured and honoured award, clearly, and so I'd just be interested.
I'll keep this forever, you know. It's a cup with my name on it. It's so meaning, so yeah. Thank you very much.
Mate, we are. You have genuinely, though, you saved our season.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that like, that feeling, that scoring, that last minute? Because that was brilliant. Getting in front of the defender like that was just amazing.
You have that instinct, and that's been built into me. So when I seen it come down the line for Nelson, I knew if I was there, I'll score. Yeah. I backed myself in front of goal, so if I'm there, I reckon I'll score. I scored, so you know.
But you know now, the thing about it is, wherever you go, whatever happens, this is a moment that all of us here are going to remember for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, yeah,
100%. And we'll remember you, and you'll be genuinely immortalised because you scored that goal.
Can we get a quick photo? Yeah.
No. Anton's just going to sign some very important things here. So Anton's there with the autographs.
There you are. We've managed to get rid of all of our awards this season. I can't even believe it. So I've got some boxes to throw away, but genuinely, I'm quite pleased about that. So I'm made up. So absolutely awesome. There we are.
So, Mark, what do you think of that, Mark?
I think Hackett's a great guy. He's signing some autographs now for some kids, cheering the kids up even though we lost 4-0 today. And as I was just telling him, scoring that goal will make him immortal in Wimbledon fans.
So, chaps, what do we make of the presentations overall? Aside from our presentations, what did people think about that evening?
I think it was quite difficult to actually get any kind of decent recording considering how loud the music was upstairs. But two things I would say about the presentation we did to Maycock for last season's something and also to Hackford is it was very apparent seeing them face to face up close and having a quick chat with them. Neither of them are particularly big personalities. Actually, I've spoken to Reeves, for example, and without banging on about Reeves and the where, whys and wherefores as to whether or not keeping him is a good idea. We do need personalities and characters in the squad. Obviously, they've lost Hutchinson. We entirely understand why. I think someone like Nerfield probably was a personality. Someone like, likewise, Tilly would have been as well. But both Hackford and Maycock, in their own way, could have and were, to an extent, influential players this season. And certainly, we would like to think will be influential players moving forward for AFC Wimbledon. However, neither of them are particularly demonstrative as actual individuals. And therefore, you can imagine that in a dressing room or on the field or when chips are down and so on and so forth, you haven't really got too many people. We could see that the last few weeks when we've gone 1 or 2 nil down to the likes of Stockport and Luton and so on. You haven't really got anybody banging the drum and saying, come on then, we can do this. We know that we're good enough. And we're really going to need that in when times are tough. We saw those two big dips of form, and I wonder, and that's probably certainly something which I believe Jackson's also aware of, And I know that you guys also caught up with Johnny Jackson as well and had a little chat with him about the type of players that we may be after. Not necessarily the individuals, but the type of players and the character of the players that we might be after. Paul, yeah, worth listening to that as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here he is. Here's JJ.
JJ, brilliant to have you here on the Same Old Wombles podcast. Difficult end to the season, but we made it. How's the season been for you? How do you feel it's gone?
Listen, it's an unbelievable success, isn't it? Like, the ultimate aim was to stay in the league, like, stay up, which we managed to do with a game to spare. So I think we always knew there was going to be some, like, real tough times. Look, in my opinion, I think we'd have done it a lot easier and a lot more comfortably if we'd had all the injuries that we've had recently. It's just been crazy. But we got it done anyway. So,
Can I ask, man? Yeah. What I don't understand is, right, you've been really calm in this. We have an 8 first team players out. Yeah, what was that like when you started seeing those players fall? Was that game? There was a game against
Peterborough, lost 3. Yeah, I mean, Luton, we lost another 3. Yeah, like, it's so difficult, especially when you've got, like, one of the smallest squads, smallest budgets anyway. You can't afford to not have your best players out there, right? So we all know that. And I knew it would affect results. Thankfully, we've done so well before that. And I think that shows how well we've done as a staff and how well they've done as players to get us in that position. And I think, honestly, we'd have been comfortable. And
we'd have been 9 points up, wouldn't we?
I kept talking about, like, record points haul and stuff like that. But obviously, you've got to readjust your ambitions, if you like. When you lose players, like, we lost all our goals.
Exactly, mate.
And then coupled with that, you start losing Johnson, you lose Lewis. Bauer's playing, but he's injured. Do you know what I mean? It makes it so hard. But the boys kept fighting. They was in there every week. Like, whether we won, we didn't win, but when we was losing, even in them games, I was seeing that the boys are fighting. And I knew that we would find a result.
But JJ, we are so proud of you, man.
Thank you. No,
we're so proud of you. You've done brilliant to take you to where we are.
Honestly,
and we're staying up, mate.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And in my opinion, the achievement of what everyone's done this season is just as great as what we've done last year.
I feel it.
Because no one fancied us.
No.
No one fancied us. We was going down. And especially you throw in what we've had to deal with as a squad injury-wise. Like, to get to 53... and to do it with a game of spare, like, we all wanted to be a little bit more comfortable. Where would be Wimbledon?
No, mate, that's not how we work.
No, exactly, yeah.
So, JJ, one question for me.
Yeah.
Got a summer, got a longer break because we haven't got playoffs.
Yeah.
What's going to be, what's your magic one? What are you going to be able to do over the summer? What's your kind of hopes?
Look, we want to recruit well. Like, our big thing as a club is to keep moving forward and constantly improvement. So we want to do better than what we've done this year. Like, we understand we ain't all of a sudden going to be one of the big, when the big hitters in the league, it's going to be even harder if you look at probably what the teams are coming down. But what a challenge, what games to look forward to. We'll keep batting above our weight like we always do. Me and Craig have to nail the recruitment. We can't afford to waste a penny. So every contract that we give out, every money that we spend, has got to be right by the football club. Now listen, you get some right, you get some wrong. Or you need to get more right than wrong,
and
then that gives you a fighting chance. So we'll try and keep hold of the ones that we want. Some will move on naturally. That's football. We've got to be really, really on it with our recruitment. And I've got a clear idea of how I want the team to look, the makeup of the squad to look. Making that happen is a tougher challenge.
Yeah.
You got your eyes on particular players already?
Profile of player. I think there's some real lessons to be learned from this season and the teams that have had success. I look at Lincoln, that are probably up with us, are probably one of the outliers, as in outperforming budget. And look what they've gone and done. So there's things that we can always learn from other teams and try and constantly improve. So that's what we're going to try and do.
Mate, you're an absolute legend, my friend. Thank you so much.
Cheers, boy.
And what did we think overall of the press? I mean, I thought it was good fun. I guess the one thing, and again, there are rumours flying around about this, was that it was a shame that none of the women's team were able to make it. And you know, and obviously,
well, that was a big shame, because last year we obviously they were there and we were able, we got some photos and also did some things, and so yeah, I mean, I was surprised that it didn't happen. Obviously, you know, clearly, obviously, reflecting back though, just quickly on what JJ is saying and what Mark said. There's clearly one person who'd be an amazing person in the locker whose ongoing discussions are being had. So, you know, you never know.
When we listen back to what JJ was saying there, is that, you know, he talks a lot about that crisis of injuries that we had, right? That was a big issue. And he kind of was just happy to get over the line. But you felt that he is aspiring to do better. He wants to do better. And he definitely had that points haul target 57, I think it was, that he wanted to be. And I think that's going to be, he will be looking to get that target. You felt heavily during that he was really, you know, pissed off by the misfortune, because we were there and then all those injuries happened and it just all went. And he talks about the Luton game. He talks about the, the Stockport game or whatever, where we had all those injuries happen. And that's the thing that's really frustrated him. And so I think that there is hope there. On the coming back to the women's thing, yeah, there were loads of rumours flying around and it's hard to know what's true and what's not. And with the women's team, the problem we've got is the long-term benefit of having a successful women's team for the club is obvious, in my opinion, because the women's team, the women's game is booming. The amount of people who are going to want to watch and get involved in women's football is going to grow. At the moment, that investment, the men's team, we sell out every week, right? That's the big thing. That's the big appeal of AFC Wimbledon is the men's team. Same with nearly every other club in the country. The growth, because our stadium is full, is actually going to be the women's team until we get a bigger stand. That's our issue. We're going to struggle to get more revenue in through the men's side. So there is a kind of thought process that we have to think about there. And that's a really tough one for a lot of our fans to think about or realise, because we're aware of several people that sort of say, well, why have we even got a women's team? And I get really pissed off with that argument, but we're all aware that there are a number of people that say that, and a number of other podcasts probably espouse that as well. And it's, you know, that is a bit short-sighted, but football's a short-term business and it's really difficult to persuade footy fans to think, well, what do we need to do for our long-term benefit? So that's where I'm at. And the rumours were that,
well, you know, let's not give that. I mean, I think the general truth is if we're going to have a women's team, you know, we've got to treat it with respect. You know, we've got to provide adequate resources. You know, and that's a key thing. And realise that we know that our women's team are all part-time, so they have to make decisions in advance whether they can or can't make things. So they need to be consulted on. You know, it's and they've done brilliantly to start to get to the league that they're in. Again, they're in the third tier, and again they stayed up on the last game of the season. Really got to make sure that a lot of that team are there next season. They've just done brilliantly, and as Niall's saying, you know, that there is a real future there. And we know that the men's team is what people of going to Wimbledon for. And, you know, listen, most of us are hypocrites, apart from Mark, not having seen the women's team play. But, you know, the fact that I know the names, I know with the fact that we've spoken to Ashley Hinks, we had a chat, not online, with Kevin afterwards as well, and said how brilliant it was, what a job he's done. It's fantastic. And it adds, you know, and our part, the Women and Girls Pathway program is fantastic. The girls' teams are doing brilliantly well. And, you know, going back to them, and our academy team is doing fantastic. I think today it's just got through to their third fight. I mean, how many trophies are there for them to win? They seem to be winning.
There are four that they could win.
Yeah.
And they've won three because they beat Luton, as we mentioned the other day. Yeah. And then today they won again, and they are in the final of another tournament. And details, of course, are not in front of me right now. But in that tournament, they're playing away to
Shrewsbury in the final. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but the truth is that what's beautiful about our club is not just that it's fan-owned, but it's a community club, and everything that's happening below the men's team, all those things, the women's team are doing well, our academy team is doing brilliantly, the pathway programs are doing fantastic. We're creating players like Nkeng. Kai Jennings might go on and do something. Look at your man, Jack Curry, and Radoni is now a Premier League player. Yeah, it's just incredible. So we need to remember to keep these important resources because they build up our club.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I was disappointed the women's team were not present on that day. I also think that one of the things to remember is that I don't think we're hypocrites. I mean, I've done one women's game. Mark's done one more recently. I think there is a different audience for the women's game that is not necessarily us, right? And I think that's fine. You know, we've picked what we want to do, and I don't think we'd switch to just watching the women's game, right? But I think visibility, presence of the fact that we as one club support all of the different types of teams that we put out is really important. And to have their presence at the end of season for the men's team wouldn't necessarily convert people to go to a Sunday game or whatever, but it adds material, adds stuff to suggest we would have probably tried to talk to them. I mean, not that our podcast goes to anyone, but you know, it's like the club need, I think in that instance, that shows a recognition of that part of the club. It's not about attracting fans, etc. It's just about recognizing all the pieces. And yes, well, maybe the men's team is considered a bit of a crown at this point. We can't sell any more tickets, etc. But I think you do need to then place the other teams into that space and say, you're just as important. You know, maybe there is obviously a different audience for sure. We know that. Mark talked about it, you know, when he went, it's a different type of audience. They love football, but it's a different type of game. And I like it. I like it for different reasons to I like the men's game. I think they're different types of football, which is great. And let's celebrate that in all the ways that we can when we have events where we are celebrating what has happened. And I thought the evening was great. I thought the clips of all the season awards were fantastic. I can't remember who the heck won anything. I was just kind of mesmerised by the clips. They looked really well done.
Nearly won goal of the season, actually, interestingly enough, which I thought was a little unfair on Marcus Brown, considering he scored a wonderful free kick at Orient.
But the women's goals, you've got to admit, were better.
Just
incredible goals. So, no, it's good. I mean, listen, hey, we do our own awards. Thank you very much, which we sing about. If you want to find out the club awards, you can go onto the website, man. Yeah. I'm sure they've got their podcast coming out soon. but it was a fun evening, and you know, we got to chat to a load of the board as well. That was great. And I chatted to Angus, and I can bring it all the way back to Huddersfield, because what was interesting is he reminded me, for those that went, of this was our away game of the season, that in the Huddersfield program they actually produced a whole load of pap about the club and everything like that, which was, and this was Angus's chance to actually put the record straight. So in the program there's quite a section called Setting the Record Straight. I won't read it all because it's detailed, it's brilliant. But it starts off with, as the club with an illustrious league history, we're disappointed to discover that Huddersfield chose to repeat the lazy inaccuracies about Wimbledon Football Club in their programme for our fixture earlier this season. And then it gives the whole description, what we've been through, how we've set ourselves up, how amazing we are, and ends with the paragraph, we hope that if Huddersfield Town fans ever face what Wimbledon fans faced in 2002, football would show solidarity, not sit in judgment over whether they deserve to have a club at all. Angus, great statements, my friend. Thank you very much. And deserved. I mean, I wonder whether they got back to Angus on that to apologise potentially. But it's good to know that we actually made a response. Yeah, I know. It's good to know.
Okay, I've got the information in front of me now. So our under 18 team, just to round that one off, they are the Youth Alliance Cup regional and national champions. They are also the Youth Alliance Southeast champions. They are also the Pro Development League Cup winners. And today they won by beating Oxford United 3-0 at the training ground, with goals by Kirby, Ashamu, and some kid called Preston Kedwell, who, yes, he is indeed Danny Kedwell's son. And they are now Youth Alliance National South playoff winners. And as we said, they're going to be playing Shrewsbury. I'm not sure whether that's home or away. One other final note to add on that particular regard. They were watched by Junior and Keng today.
Yeah.
Which I think is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah. Because he's been part of that squad earlier in the season. And in actual fact, he was, we saw him this season in the London Senior Cup, because they played against Cray Wanderers, which is local to us. So we actually went down there and managed to see him score a couple of goals. So there you are. 1 minute he's playing there, and next minute he's, you know, breaking through into the first team, and I'm sure will be a regular next season. Anyhow, the other things to note are sort of like, you know, in our roundup, and don't worry, we've got a really good end to the show. But to say that there's the Womble Walk coming up on the 28th of June. It's a half marathon walk. It's on the 28th, £10 to join. Check on the website, on the Wimbledon website, you'll find it there. It's 8:30 a.m. registration, which is what's kind of done for me, really, because I would really like to do this walk, but getting to Wimbledon at 8:30 a.m. on a Sunday is really tricky.
You lie like a cheap suit. You don't want to do it at all.
No, I do want to do it. I might even do it now just to spite you. The last time to renew your season tickets is the Thursday, the 7th of May. So if you want to renew your season tickets, probably do that. I think I need to get on the case there as well. And then I think, Adam, I think you've got a couple of notices as well, my friend. And you particularly, this has to be short, mate, because we are... These poor people are never going to get this far in the podcast. But you've got something to say about Discord, which I don't think any of the others have used at all.
I didn't even notice it had gone. I use it all the time. Can't help myself. Discord and me are like busy mates. Or maybe I've never been on it. It's one of the two. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Oh, my days. Okay. What we just need to announce is that the Don's Trust board unanimously agreed to close Discord as a community space for fans to discuss, you know, all things Wimbledon on the internet, as a space that was housed by, it was housed on Discord, but it had a restricted membership. You had to be a Don's Trust member. You had to obviously have your name and your number all there. And the kind of reasons given predominantly were about engagement, which you've just kind of talked about, Matthew, which is that no one other than maybe me was on there, right? I was posting our podcast on there every week in the match talk thing, and occasionally I'd engage with some chats about certain things. So I don't know if it was doing us any favours, but it's one of the spaces I would often put our podcast to say, here's us talking about a match. And there was a lot of chat, and there was sort of stuff going on. There wasn't tons of engaged people, and you go and look at the stats and see what they think. But there was quite a lot of lurkers, is what I like to call them, is that people that were not posting stuff but were actively reading the conversations that other fans were having. My dad was definitely one of them. He never posted, but he was reading Discord, right? And whatever they said at the beginning about getting, you know,
I mean, you could have texted him, Adam, to be honest
that's
with you, because he's reading your messages.
Yeah. No, but that's, I mean, they said it was to engage a younger audience, right? And actually, I didn't really see a younger audience on there. I saw the same old people posting stuff that would have been on the forums before, and people like my dad reading them. So I don't think it achieved that part of what they'd hoped. Discord is generally used by the gaming community and generally... Discord is generally used by the gaming community, but the average age of a gamer is more like my age, so whatever. They don't. Anyway, I'm not going to go down the roots of that.
Mid-30s.
Exactly.
Well, 21.
No.
Yeah, something like that.
They're older than that. So.
22.
Stop it now.
21 again.
Don't get. Like, honestly, I can give a whole open day talk about why there's more middle-aged women who play video games than teenage boys, but it's fine. We're not going to talk about that. Okay. So anyway. Discord.
Yeah.
Those of you who are interested can go to Winchester and listen to Adam, Dr. Adam,
Professor
Schools, on his whole lecture on this. And there will be links posted in the chat afterwards for those of you interested in all the articles that Adam has referred
Thank you.
To. Cheers, Adam.
Yeah, there'll be a literature review. So anyway, what I want to say is I think actually the Don's Trust and others have been overly cautious to what is basically the online safety bill. So in layman's terms, the online safety bill basically says that if you manage a group like a Discord and certain other things, you basically are liable for the things that are posted on there because you're considered publishing those things, which is very different to how the internet works. And I think they've taken a really cautious approach to the fact that the Don's Trust and obviously then AFC Wimbledon PLC could be liable for conversations happen on there that may well breach the Online Safety Act. And a lot of people who are on the Discord are annoyed about that because no other forum is being set up.
Well, I think this is a thing. So, you know, it's the truth is though, Adam, I think that a lot of conversations, like it or not, are happening by our fans on other social media channels. That's where the conversations are happening about, you know, squads and obviously a lot of it is very, you know, oh, I can't believe this happened. Oh, it's all so wrong. Oh, I've got, you know, I'm not paying my season ticket to watch this rubbish and renewing.
Yeah, but none of that contravenes the Online Safety Act, right? Facebook can moderate stuff because they are now have to, so those conversations happen. But none of that kind of conversation is what is against that act. So I think they're just being super overcautious to the fact they are concerned that there's libel things that could happen in that space, which is not
also,
again, it's a bit of a misreading of the act.
Also, I think the trouble is, I mean. How many people are actually using that compared to how many people are engaging on Facebook? Or
they're not engaging on Facebook,
which I know that you're not. I know that you're not. I know you're not a fan.
But they're not engaging in those spaces. This is the thing. This was a community space where Don's Trust members were able to have conversations. It's not the same as being able to have some sort of open conversation on X and an open conversation on Facebook where, yes, those companies now currently, by the Online Safety Act, are liable to shut down speech that is considered inappropriate, right? But none of what you've said is that. And so I think having an official space where Don's Trust members are able to at least have a discussion around topics, because it got a bit hot occasionally, and I know that recent others were moderating quite heavily at various points, in particular during the elections. But I think all I want to say, and I've said this in Discord and I've said it elsewhere, this is a misinterpretation of the Online Safety Act, and it's an over precautious step that stops fans from having a space where. Well, stops Don's Trust members from having space that they can just talk with other Don's Trust members. I'm not joining a Facebook group. I'm not following a Twitter thing where I have no idea who any of those people are because they can hide their identities. They can post whatever they want. It will only get taken down if Facebook moderators get on that, which is a horrendous job in itself. So I think we should have a space, and to say that there's other places is just nonsense.
Adam, I think I completely understand where you're coming from. My sense is
it's done. It's not going to change
for a lot of people. I know, but I think for a lot of people, Discord wasn't the place.
No, but okay. I said originally it should be discourse, which is a forum space that you can have with the same sort of things, which is more like a forum. Discord was chosen because they felt it would appeal to a younger audience, which I think was wrong again at the beginning. And now they're just shutting it down and they're not offering any other option. They could manage a discourse forum if they wanted to appropriately. And that is very, and again, I don't believe anything that would happen on that space would fall into areas around the Online Safety Act. You still would need to moderate
I completely understand, but I think that for a lot of people, I mean, I've never heard of Discord.
No, okay.
So I guess for a lot of people, it's like, is there a way of doing something which is...
They're not going to do anything. This is what I'm... it's the same
Slack
thing. It's all the same. WhatsApp all those things fall under the same bucket of what they've unanimously decided, so there is nothing else coming. That's what I'm saying. We are not going to get anything else because they have misinterpreted and overreacted to the Online Safety Act. That's what's happened, and they've used justification to say there's very small engagement as the main means to shut that down. And I think this is a wrong choice, and they could move to a platform that would be more useful, etc. Doesn't matter what the platform's called. There could be a space for Don's Trust members to engage in conversation that is those members only, that is not Facebook and is not X. Neither of those solve any of these things, and it doesn't matter what you call it. Slack, Discord, I'm on all of them, right? I know all of them because I've tried them in different ways. They probably picked the wrong one to begin with for lots of different reasons, but it's not going to change. We're not going to have a space. We are not going to have a space for that other than email, going up to the kiosk. That's what's happened. That's everyone just needs to know that.
Adam, okay, and we're excited by it, and because I know that this is something you're passionate about. This is brilliant. And I can I just ask the question? On Saturday, were you asked to stand for the election again?
Yeah, numerous times.
I feel this is, dear listener, this is our man. You've got a passion. He wants to have communication with the club through an online platform. I mean, I think if you're going to vote for something like this.
He's also got a life and a family and a wife and a dog and lots of other things taking up his time.
People have all those sort of things, and foolishly they stand. Not
says
me.
Says the man who's never stood.
No, because I'm not foolish. But and I'm not saying that you are, Adam. But anyhow, and there was. I want you to calm down. Take a breath. I want you to calm down, and because there was something else. The WAF.
Yeah, we are Wimbledon Fund. So I just wanted to remind it.
We Are Wimbledon Fund.
Yeah, so exciting news. I want to remind everyone the We Are Wimbledon Fund Cup is coming up. So obviously, if you haven't signed up to be a player, you can probably still do that. So visit, wearewimbledonfund.com. Sign up to play. We've got corporate sponsorship now. So I don't know if that's been announced, so I won't say who it is, but it will get out on the social media, obviously. if you are...
We'll look out for it on Discord.
Exactly. It won't be on Discord. Although I did post it on Discord. If you want to play on Plough Lane for a sizable amount of time and be managed by ex-Wimbledon managers and to play with legends, then you have limited time to sign up for the We Are Wimbledon Fund Cup 2026. Please do that. For those of you... Again, I probably need to talk to a younger audience who want to run around for a long time on a full-size football pitch.
No, I think.
But yeah, it's all good. I mean, it's just I think there's been a lot of people have put. So this is one thing to say on the end of that. A lot of people put a bunch of effort into the We Are Wimbledon Fund, and I was obviously one of the crew that I was fortunate enough to be able to present Craig Cope with the check in the middle of the season to help. Towards the first team player fund. And I spoke to Craig on Saturday evening And yeah, he was so complimentary about the fact that this fund had really made a difference to things that he could do during the season for the first team player squad. And he didn't need to tell me that. He just said, I didn't ask him that. He just literally said it to me. Thanks, you know, I was happy to be there. And I've done very little for that group. I've just been trying to do as much as I can. So I was bowled over by that. And I obviously told everyone in the group that, well done. You know, I know some people belittled the amount of money that, you know, we aimed really high. And we only achieved a small amount, 27,000 pounds, which is not a small amount as far as I'm concerned. But that, Craig Cope said, that made a difference. And as far as I'm concerned, that little thing was part of what ensured that we stayed in League One. So I was super chuffed to be involved with that. So if you want to get more involved, either set up a regular donation, chuck in a one-off payment, if you can afford it, do the We Are Wimbledon Fund Cup. If you can exit, if you're fit enough, do that. I'm hoping we'll make a little montage of what happens with video and stuff. So yeah, I just want to shout out to all the people involved in that fund, because it's been hard in various ways. We've got some stick in different places. A bunch of us have got lots of, like Mark says, families, etc. And we've been doing a lot of extra work, you know. And someone did say to me, how do you do the podcast, the work and this? And I was like, I don't know. But some of these things are important. And I think so I just want to shout out to the We Are Wimbledon Fund team. And if anyone wants to join it, just ping us a message in the various groups, etc. I think you can contact us through the We Are Wimbledon Fund website. We definitely, next year, will be well up for people who want to get involved with that to help support it. And mainly, if you're young, you got no kids, you got no stress, you'd be really good, because that would help us to organise stuff. So, yeah.
And it's on, just to say, it's on the 31st of May, 2026. Adam, I'm delighted that we were able to give you your moment there.
Hey, once a season, it's fine.
Yeah, no, once a season, that's what it is.
You should speak out more often, my friend. Well said. Indeed. And let's echo absolutely all that. Thanks and applause. Yeah. Can I do a quick shout out? Because you actually told me on Saturday that I could do this shout out.
Yes, can you do a shout out?
Literally, when this happened at the post-match activities, Matt said, you can do a shout out now.
I know.
So this is a shout out to a gentleman who we genuinely didn't know. And I don't think any of us have spoken to him before, but this is a guy called Paul Hodgson. Paul Hodgson, 29, who's a heating engineer by day, football lover every minute, and an AFC Wimbledon fan. And Paul was wearing the melon kit, the green and black kit, and he came up to us. He walked towards myself and Niall, I think initially, in the 1889 lounge, the big lounge, and said to Niall, actually, are you part of the same old Wombles? And then looked at me and said, you must be Tall Mark. And it's like, yes. But we're not players or anything else, you know. He said, no, I listen to you. I am the listener. It's like, we had to disappoint him by telling him that, unfortunately, loads of people have claimed that title already. But the lovely thing was, he then insisted on having a photo with us.
Yep.
And he's done a little montage on X, about a minute and 10 seconds or so, of his time at the awards. And he's got some photos there of Sammy Mack doing the music, and he got some signatures from some of the players. But the first photo he's got before any of the players, before anything to do with Jackson or Hippolyte or any other players he met and got autographs or whatever from, is of us as the same old Wombles with Paul. So thank you, Paul. Big up to yourself. Big shout out to Paul. And thank you for listening. And thank you to all our listeners, obviously, who've been indulging us to do the podcast, because we are now coming towards the end of season 4, I believe, as amazing as that is.
It is ridiculous, isn't it, that we're still allowed to broadcast? but I'm no, it's great, and thanks to Paul, and thanks to all you guys. I know that Adam's quite excited about our extensive summer series we've got on. I can't believe Adam, you want us to do 2 or 3 podcasts a week, but it's all right. We'll calm down. We'll think about that at some point. But it's all great now.
There's one other thing to mention, actually. From
I knew this was happened
from Saturday night. we also had the opportunity to speak to our special guest that has actually never been our special guest.
No.
And so we can now hear from the man that
I'm coming on. That's my ending bit.
You can't end before I do the quiz, my friend.
Oh, Jesus. How long is this podcast going on for? Right, so...
It's all right. We're only at 100. We're only at an hour and 7 minutes. It's fine.
Before, I know, with clips. But before we speak to our special guest, who is always bugging us, and when are you going to have me on? What? I want to talk about this and talk about that. And we're like, whoa, stop harassing us. Before that, though, we did manage to speak to the face of the BBC website, BBC Sport website, our friend and fellow podcaster, Mr. Stuart Deakins, who was able to give his little bit of an insight into it. You can listen to him now.
All right, hi everyone. So this is the Simon Wombles podcast, and we're just going to catch up with our... I don't believe it! It's the face of the BBC Sports website, Stuart Deakin!
We put Mark's nick in my face or whatever thing, is
it? Hey, mate, how you doing? You alright?
I'm alright, season's over now, isn't it?
Oh,
thank goodness.
You know what I mean? Wasn't it over last week?
Well, I think so. The way they played, yeah, I think.
Oh, no, it was... I don't know what was going on today. But you're okay. What's your thoughts about next season? Because I am... At the moment, maybe we just don't think about it.
I was just doing the BBC London, and one of the PA guys actually asked.
What were you doing? You were just doing what?
I'm doing the media, aren't I? So the PA guy just actually went, "What do you think about next season?" And I laughed my head off. And Johnny's like, "Let's get this season over first." Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Do you want to enjoy the summer? And then I don't know. Panic. I don't know how we're gonna get the points. We got 53 points, but
yeah. I mean, we. Do you think, because we're all thinking that this is going to be a huge restructure, like a massive overhaul of the squad. Is that what you're thinking?
You don't do too much, do you, really? That's the thing, but it's probably, I think we've had a year in League One, so we probably know now what the standard's like, and it's a heavy standard. So I think we probably need through the middle, so that's probably my thing, and a forward. But you don't
And
do
some
too,
defenders.
Well, yeah, you don't do too much, though, because you do too much, and you... You start to begin the season trying to get to know each other, don't you? So,
At least we've got some weeks. Like, it's not like last season when we had like literally 3 weeks between the end and the start of the season.
Yeah, we've got about 7 weeks now, haven't we? But I don't know, do you know what? We worry about that when it happens. Yeah. Like, I'm looking forward to a break, I really am.
Yeah, me too. And my friends, so just like to say that we are loving the 9 years podcast. Our friends.
Well, you know what? I'm loving yours as well, but I won't lie. I fell asleep twice listening to your podcast.
Oh, what's that about?
I then had to remember what did I hear before I fell asleep. So I actually listened to it 3 times. So,
So the question is, what do we need to do to get apple crumble served in this ground? That's kind of the biggest question.
Do you know what? I've actually thought about when you said apple crumble. It's like a bit of custard. Yeah, you got me really. Like, my wife bought some the other day, so.
Serve it in the ground.
That's
got to be you. What we've got here is the basis of a joint campaign between the 9 years podcast. And
it's like the old school dinners, remember? You just get just dish out of like one of those metal things, isn't it?
That's what we need.
Nice and cheap.
Well, good man. Thank you very much. Cheers, Stu.
And over to Mark for the quiz. This is just going to go on for 4 million years. All right, mate. What have we got? Two
only
questions.
4 million years. So. This
the end
is
of the season, come
end
on.
Of season quiz.
We're announced.
Exactly as I did last year, we've basically got a couple of questions. So you need a pen and paper or something to make notes.
Oh, flipping, yeah. So
you've got to answer, you've got to mark your own homework, you know. I'm not being that rude to you. I do exactly what I did last year, which is basically 2 questions on every month of this season.
What?
So 2 questions about games that happened in August, 2 games, 2 questions about games that happened in September, etc., etc., etc.
I haven't even got enough paper.
You'll work it out as you go along.
Excellent. Okay.
I seem to remember last year that nobody got more than about 10 right. But okay, are we ready? Do we have pens and papers and things?
Yeah, pens and paper. I mean, you know, I really wish I'd have eaten before.
Yeah, me too.
So me too as well.
Yeah. Part of this is your fault,
Adam. Consolation, Bayern Munich still losing to PSG.
That's not a consolation.
Okay, right, here we go. So, keep the answers to yourself, and we'll go through all the answers at the end, all right? So, don't shout them out.
Okay.
Keep the answers to yourself. So, question one. Which AFC Wimbledon player scored the first goal of the 2025-26 EFL season? See? The fact that writing things down straight away, dear listener, indicates that they know what they're talking about.
No, I've got no idea.
No.
Question two.
Yep.
Which team did the Dons play twice away from home in August, winning 2-1 in League One, but losing 2-1 in the EFL Cup second round? Okay. Moving swiftly along, keeping it going. This a lot of these will come to you because these players have been mentioned and these people have been mentioned as we go along tonight. Which immortal Loney made his one and only start for the Dons in the 5-1 home drubbing by Stevenage in the EFL Trophy on the 2nd of September?
Okay.
Yes, it is who you think it is.
Yeah.
Hope I've got that right.
Question four. Which crowd favourite scored and assisted to help the Dons beat Wickham 2-1 at home on the 27th of September? A little clue for you there. He may have won a few awards on Saturday night. Adam's looking very quizzical, dear listener.
Yeah, because I forgot he won anything on Saturday. That's why.
Blimey. Okay. Our best run of the season was notching four successive league wins in a row. That's what successive means, obviously. From the 13th of September to the 4th of October. In that run, the Dons beat Rotherham, Doncaster, Wickham, and which other team?
See, I have to know who's in our league, don't I?
You have to remember who is in the league this season that we've just played. That we only finished on Saturday, and it's only Wednesday now. Okay. Question six. Which crowd favourite scored his first ever Dons goals in that win against the team in the Northwest? Clue on that one, he's no longer playing for us.
Oh, goodness sake. It's that freaking other guy, isn't it?
That freaking other guy, yes.
Crowd favourite?
Yes. No, it's the one that Niall hates, isn't it?
Crowd favourite, yes, exactly, in the loosest
terms.
I could have
called him his name,
the guy that Niall doesn't like, or that my wife doesn't like either. But you know,
rope boy.
That's the one. Question seven.
I'm going to put rope boy.
I just said the one Niall hates.
Question
I don't remember who I hate, so it didn't have any difference. Ages ago.
Question seven. Which non-league team knocked the Dons out of the first round of the FA Cup?
Oh, God.
And after they did that, they didn't win for about 15 games.
Yes.
Oh, I've got that one.
I should
That's my
know
first
one.
I should have right.
Yeah, I think I've got
See,
that
some
one.
Some of these are getting a bit easy, you know?
As they get closer to...
as they get closer in time, yes. We're into November now. Question eight. Which Dons, ex-Dons, Loney, who played against us twice this season for both Huddersfield and Barnsley?
Okay, I've got that one as well.
Got that one.
You should hopefully get that one, Mr. Niall and Mr. Matt, because you went to Huddersfield away, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, this everyone should get.
Who Shut up. Don't say that. Don't say that. Everyone should get. I'm not reading out any of my answers, okay?
All right. Question nine. Who scored all of his goals this season against Cardiff in the Virtue Trophy on the 2nd of December?
Oh, okay. Sugar, I do know this.
He's a legend.
Absolute legend, yeah.
An absolute legend.
And he may also have had his contract extended.
Oh, God. I do know this.
Come on.
Anyone think you were AFC Wimbledon fans? Okay. Question 10. In our five league games in December, how many goals did the Dons score in total?
Five league games in when?
December. Yeah.
Oh, I do know that one.
See, congratulations.
I don't know the five. No, it's the previous question. Yeah. I just remembered.
Yeah. Well done. Okay. All right, question 11. I think these are getting easier, honestly. Who's wonder? This one's already been mentioned in the pod tonight, actually. Who's wonder free kick clinched our 3-1 comeback win at Orient on New Year's Day?
Okay.
We're into January now, obviously.
Like, you think I'm listening to the podcast, honestly.
Thanks, sugar.
It was whoever Matthew said earlier.
Okay, it was actually me, but never mind.
Sugar.
Question 12. Which Academy product made his full debut for the Dons, full league debut for the Dons, in the Doncaster home defeat on the 17th of January? Here's a clue. There are not that many Academy products that have made their full debuts for this season.
No, I know.
And actually, Jennings only made his debut on Saturday. So. There you go. It's a clue. It wasn't Jennings.
No, I know. That's who I was thinking of. Damn it.
Question 13. This is the guy that almost won an award 2 years in a row. Whose last-minute winner at Port Vale was in January, kick-started our season. Season comeback, so to speak. Okay. Question 14. Between the 2-1 win over Wickham in September and the 3-2 win over Reading on the 7th of February, how many home games were there that we didn't win?
Between what and who?
What?
Between Wickham, win over Wickham at home in September and the win over Reading at home on the 7th of February.
How many home games did we win?
How many home games were there? We didn't win any of them. That's the point.
Don't know.
You'll know all these. You'll kick yourself if you don't know.
I don't think I will kick myself.
I don't think I'm going to know.
I have no knowledge of it.
Okay. That's such a weird window of time. Like,
Who was man of the match? Question 15. Who was man of the match on his first league appearance of the season for the 1-0 home win over Northampton on the 8th of March? On a Sunday.
Oh, flipping heck. It was on a blooming Sky nonsense. I probably didn't go.
That's right.
Man of the match, his first home game of the season.
Yes. He played a few more after that, but that was his first home game of the season.
Okay.
Oh, I forget it. I don't know. Okay. I think this is good for the listeners, to be honest. Not good for
us. Absolutely, yeah. It's a good review of the season. Yeah. Question 16. Who was our biggest win of the season against? Happened on the 11th of March. Obviously, yep. Chronologically, this is how we're going.
Ooh.
Into March now.
Yep.
And actually, I think this is our last home win of the season as well.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
Midweek game, if that helps anyone.
Go on.
Okay. Question 17. Whose volleyball assist helped Lincoln to an unjust 1-0 win over the Dons on Good Friday, 3rd of April?
Hold on. That's naming a Lincoln player.
That is naming an ex-Wimbledon loanee who is currently now a Lincoln player, yeah. See, you know who it is.
Oh, God. No, well, yeah, I know, but I don't remember.
Adam might get this one. Question 18. Whose sixth goal of the season in all competitions mathematically confirmed the Don's future in League One?
It's interesting because you mentioned... Adam will get this one, and I immediately wrote down another name.
Yeah,
then you ask the question.
Very good. Okay. Question 19. How many Dons players have started more than 40 games this season?
Okay.
Including just in the league?
No, it's all competitions, but it doesn't actually make any difference.
All right.
Because they've all done more than 40 in the league as well.
Yep.
Okay. Question 20. How many, or not how many, which Academy graduates made their league debut this season?
We've got to name some names.
Well, multiple people.
There's only two. It's not that hard.
No, I'm just checking.
All right.
Yes.
Is that it?
No, there were four more just to keep adding. Bob!
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
We've done the season. What are we doing now?
We're doing future stuff. Yeah, this is just like I fancied doing 24, so there's two for each month.
Jesus,
I don't even know who's in the academy.
Our top scorers this season were Marcus Brown in the league. This is were Marcus Brown with 12, Matty Stevens with 9, Omar Bugu with 5. Who was fourth top scorer with 4 goals?
Say the tops again.
Brown just in the league. 12, Stevens with 9, Bugle with 5 in the league, yeah.
Oh, who fucking knows? Right, carry on.
You'll know.
Not Bishop, right?
Not Bishop, no. All right, 22, question 22. How many centre backs have we fielded in the league this season?
97 million. Do you mean actual centre backs, or do you mean people?
No, I mean, how many players have we had that played at centre back?
Right, yeah, because there's a totally different figures.
Absolutely. Yeah, only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them were actually centre backs.
Right.
Okay.
I think. Okay, two more. Who has contributed the most league assists for us this season? It was 8 assists. He may also be the answer to another question earlier on.
Yep.
And finally, question 24. With 2 red cards and 4 yellow cards, who has the worst individual disciplinary record of a Wimbledon player this season?
Right. Cool. Oh, can we go for the answers now?
Very quickly. Go for the answers. Right.
Go on.
Yes.
Shout out if you know the answer. And then mark your own homework, as we said. Which Wimbledon player scored the first league goal of this season?
No idea. Ali Smith.
Ryan, you were there with me and Martin. No idea? Ryan Johnson, own goal at Luton.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. He did. I'm just being factual. Okay, which team did the Dons play twice in August, winning 2-1 away in the league and losing 2-1 away in the cup?
I totally got Reading. This.
Reading, correct, Niall. Well done.
Oh. Well, I won as well because I said another team in League One.
I don't think you can have that one. Which Lonely Men's one and only start against Stevenage in the EFL Trophy?
Brody Hughes.
Brody, yes. Yay. That was Brody's thing. Well done, everyone. Okay. Question 4. Which crowd favourite scored and assisted in the 2-1 win over Wickham?
Seddon.
You want to take your first answer, but the answer is Seddon, yeah.
Yes. We got that right as well.
Okay. 4 successive league wins from 13th of September to 4th of October against Rotherham, Doncaster, Wickham, and who?
Blackpool. Boom.
Blackpool, correct. 2-0. Yeah. And which crowd favourite scored his first ever Dons goals in that Blackpool win?
The one Norris.
Orsi.
Orsi is the correct answer.
Damn it, it was a stupid horse name, wasn't it?
Flip
it.
Rope boy.
Question 7, which non-league team knocked Dons out of the FA Cup in round 1?
Gateshead.
Correct.
Which Don's loney brackets keeper
Goodman.
Played against us? Goodman, correct. Who scored all of his goals against Cardiff in the Virtue Trophy?
Sasu.
Correct.
Yes.
In the 5 games in December, how many goals did the Don score?
1.
1 is the correct answer.
Wow.
Against, I guess the Mundo.
3-1 defeat at Northampton on the 19th of December. Okay, going into January, whose wonder free kick clinched the win at Orient on New Year's Day?
Brown,
correct.
Sugar.
Which academy product made his full debut in the Doncaster home defeat in January?
Nkeng.
Correct.
Oh, you're kidding.
He made his debut as a sub at Exeter, his full debut at home to Doncaster. Whose last minute winner at Port Vale kick-started the season?
Maycock.
Correct.
Yay.
How many games between the wins over Wickham in September and the win over Reading in February?
I said six.
5.
Any advance on 6? The answer is 8.
Oh.
8 games that we did not win between September and February, and we still stayed up. Who was man of the match on his first league appearance of the season for the win over Northampton?
Tilly.
Good guess. Anyone in advance on Tilly?
I had Boyer.
Started Nkeng, and that can't be right.
Joe McDonnell.
Okay.
Biggest league win of the season on the 11th of March?
Blackpool.
Blackpool.
Score was?
4-1.
Correct. Whose volleyball assist helped Lincoln to an unjust 1-0 win?
Taylor.
On Friday? Rowley Taylor. Whose sixth goal of the season mathematically confirmed the Dons' future in League One?
At
Wickham. Yes. Wigan on the 25th of April. Well, how many Dons players have started over 40 games this season?
I said two.
I've said six.
Sugar, I just wrote Seddon.
Just Seddon. Okay, well, the answers are Seddon 51, Smith 50, Ogundeer 48, and Johnson 44. So the answer is four. So none of you got it right. How many academy graduates, or which academy graduates, have made their debut this season?
Jennings and Nkeng.
Correct. Who's fourth top scorer with four goals behind Brown, Stevens, and Bugle?
Smith?
Johnson.
Johnson's the correct answer. Smith got one, which is the one against Plymouth. How many or which centre-backs have we fielded in the league this season?
I've written 10, just for the hell of it.
10's not a bad guess. Matt?
Eight, I had.
Matt's got eight?
I said six.
And six. The answer is Lewis, Johnson, Ogundeer, Harbottle, Seddon, Bauer, Hutchinson, and Smith. It is eight. Correct. Hey. Well done.
Yeah, I knew that.
Of course you did, yes. Who's contributed the most league assists?
Brown.
And Smith again. It isn't Smith, because you said it was in a previous answer. So
Adam?
I said Bugle.
You've all denigrated Seddon. Of course it's Seddon.
Oh, shoot.
Seddon with eight. And who has the worst disciplinary record? With two red cards and four yellow cards. It is Joe Lewis. Sent off at Bolton and sent off somewhere else.
I said Johnson, weirdly.
Johnson, Reeves and Seddon all had nine yellow cards.
Yeah, so I thought Johnson had
red cards count more than yellow.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, mark your own homework. How many points 14. Have you got?
14.
I thought you got more than that, Niall.
No, I did well at the start, and I kept on shouting out the right ones. I got 14. I did very bad at the end.
Any advance on 14, Matt?
I've got 15, but I'm sure Niall did better than that. I don't believe you only got that, Niall.
Adam?
I got five.
Oh, bless you.
It's more than last season.
It's probably more than last season, actually, yeah. But you got it, so that's good. That's the quiz. Thank you very much, and we'll put the answers and everything else in the.
Send me all the questions. I'll put them in the chat.
But there you are, everybody. What a season it's been! Thank you, Mark. That's been fantastic. I mean, fantastic in that we obviously have no knowledge of our team yet again because we are the same old Wombles. Before we go, we managed to catch up with our super listener. I mean, all of you guys listening are wonderful listeners, but this guy just listened to everyone. He told us he listened to everyone of the podcast. He always wants to be on. And finally, he caught up with us and forced us to interview him. Here he is giving his feedback on the season and some tips on, who he might sign. It is John Green, and we are the same old Wombles. Fare thee well.
So we're absolutely delighted. We finally caught up with a legend. There's our regular on our podcast.
The trouble with John Green is he doesn't stop bugging us all the time. I want to be on the show.
I was trying to get on the show, and now it's finally happening. I'm so grateful.
I know.
And not at all intoxicated.
like us, we're not intoxicated either. So how are you feeling, my friend?
I'm so relieved we stayed up. I mean, God bless last week at Wigan, because we were not going to get any points today.
No.
So, John, obviously, as a regular participating in the podcast, when are you actually going to come and join us on a proper John Green?
We got to do it. We just got to. My schedule is a little challenging, but we got to make it happen.
We have, my friend. So, and the big question is, who are you signing up over the summer?
Craig Cope.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
My God, guys, that I thought this was 20 minutes, half an hour.
1 minute
that
34.
That is like
one hour 34.
It's going to be 2 hours with clips.
Well done. Nobody's going to fucking listen to that.
Let's go and eat. Let's go and eat.
Yeah.
Blooming right. The clips. I've got to figure out how to fit them into where the various points are. Blooming jokers. Yeah. Normally we had a block where we were like, here's the clips block. Now, no. We're going to have a clip followed by a little bit of a chat, followed by a clip, followed by a little bit of a chat. Flipping egg. I'll be lucky if I can get this out by the next month. Gee.
Right, mate. Listen, I look forward to listening to it tomorrow morning.
That's hard.
All right, everyone. See you soon.